want your soul.
I met her at a party my friend Matt organized last year. Although the party was big with lots of people there, she stood out from the crowd immediately. Red hair, blue eyes, full lips, voluptuous figure. She was mesmerizing in an otherworldly manner, which I cannot explain. I couldn't take my eyes off her, and soon she noticed my voracious glances and returned them. At the time, I hadn't even thought about approaching her. With her amazing looks, she had a lot of wooers around her, but seemed bemused by every single one of them. That's why when I grabbed a beer and turned around to see her standing right in front of me, I was so startled I almost spilled my beer all over myself. "Hi," she said with a curious smile, ignoring my clumsiness. "Hi back," I said, trying my best to not stare at her cleavage. "You're a friend of Matt's, right? I haven't seen you before." "I am. My name's Jake." "Maria," she replied, and we shook hands. At the time, the only thing I can think was, what in the whole hell was wrong with her, that she decided to talk to me of all people at this party. "You want a drink?" I gestured to the plethora of booze on the table. "No, I don't drink. I will take that Coke Zero, though," she jovially said as she bent forward unnaturally to reach the Coke can on the table, making her tits even more prominent in that position. I remember wondering at that point if she did that on purpose to tease me, or if she was completely oblivious to the sight she was displaying. My bet was on the first one, and it invigorated me to strike up a conversation with her further. "So, what about you? How do you know Matt?" I asked, my brain desperately trying to conjure up some smooth lines, but only sputtering out the most basic sentences. "Well, he and I used to be neighbors when we were kids, and we played together almost every day during summer. We just kind of stayed in touch over the years, as improbable as that sounds." "Wow, I can't believe he's never told me about you all these years." I tried to be more daring, the beer taking more control than I was. "Now, Matt and I used to hang out a lot more frequently before, but he never told me about Maria. He did have a lot of friends, though, and it's not like we sat around talking about his friends all day." She smiled and took a sip of her Coke, maintaining eye contact with me the whole time. Just then, a new song started playing and Maria gasped with a grin on her face. "I love this song. Want to dance?" she winked, gesturing with her head for me to follow. My testosterone was already out of control by then from being in the proximity of a woman of such appearance, so I didn't need to be asked twice. I grabbed her by the hand and took her to the middle of the room, among the other drunken guests. Maria and I danced for hours, which says a lot about me, because I absolutely hate dancing. I remember in my intoxicated state, seeing Matt giving me a weird glance and his eyebrows raised when he saw me there with her. After a while, things got heated and Maria and I began making out and grinding on the dance floor. I continued drinking along the way, and with my lack of self-control over booze, I blacked out at some point, which was probably for the best. I kept thinking about fucking her right then and there. I woke up in the morning with a throbbing headache, the sunlight coming through the window blinding me. I grunted and opened my eyes with great difficulty, observing my surroundings. I was in the bedroom of my apartment, and there was a note on the nightstand written with almost perfect handwriting. "See you soon, Maria," it read. There was a lipstick imprint in the shape of lips under that. I flipped the note over, hoping for a number or a way to contact her, but there was nothing else. I cursed loudly for not remembering anything about the fiery last night I probably had with Maria or having a way to contact her back. But at that time, my biggest concern was my throbbing head. I spent most of that day laying in bed, and then around 4 p.m., I got a call from an unknown number. "Hello," I answered, expecting a call from a marketing or insurance agency. "Hey, Jake," a playful voice resounded on the other side. "Hi," I said, trying not to give away my confusion. It's Maria. You remember me? She asked playfully again. Maria, oh yes, of course I remember you. How was the party for you?
Well, the party was okay,
but the after party was amazing, she giggled. I laughed awkwardly. Say, did Matt give you my number?
Oh no, I got it myself, while you were sleeping. I used your phone to call myself.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I wish I could say that this raised some red flags, but the part of me which was into Maria decided to ignore such a creepy fact. More so, I was glad that she called me. Hey, Jake, do you want to go out somewhere tonight? She asked. Tonight? I was taken aback by this, but it was still a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, sure. How about we go to a quieter place tonight?
That's a great idea. I could hear the excitement in her voice over the phone. Boss Cafe, 8 o'clock?
Sure.
Do you want me to pick you up somewhere or...
No, it's okay.
See you soon, Jakey. Can't wait for tonight. I dressed up fancier than last night and put on an expensive cologne to make up for the intoxicated state I was in at the party. Maria was already seated at a table in the restaurant, looking even more enthralling than last night. She wore a tight, fancy red dress that matched her hair and brought her bodily features to expression. I felt my temperature going up right away, and it wasn't from the restaurant's heating. She and I hit it off pretty well from the start, and after just a few minutes of talking, I realized she wasn't just a pretty face and a hot body, but also a font of knowledge that possessed the intellect of someone who could put a scholar to shame. I honestly started to feel a bit intimidated by this point. She was a psychologist in high school, who planned to start her own business, and in her spare time she enjoyed painting, joining book club meetings, and going to acting classes twice a week. And then there was me, a half-ambitious accountant, whose only goal was to make it to Friday so I could go drinking. She didn't seem to mind my lack of hobbies, though, and was genuinely interested in everything I had to say, gleefully hanging on to every word I uttered. After dinner, we went back to my place, and when things started getting heated, she stopped me. She seemed genuinely worried, so when I asked her what was wrong, she told me that she's not the kind of person to sleep around, but that she likes me and wants to try something more serious with me. And as you can imagine, this was not good news for me, since I had a rock-hard boner. Most of my thinking capabilities were by then drained from staring at her exposed tits, but I used my remaining brain power to tell her I understand what she meant, and that the feeling was mutual, which was a complete fucking lie. At that, she seemed relieved, and we took things slowly into the bedroom. We officially started dating after that, and things went smoothly for a while. We saw each other every day, and often she'd sleep over. Frankly, I was beginning to think that she was the one, and I had already started picturing our future together, even though we had been dating only for a month. And then one day, everything changed. We were on a date in the Boss Cafe, and she was telling me about her day. I carefully listened and agreed with her that the 15-year-old girl from school that she was talking to was spoiled. My phone then vibrated and I unlocked it. Oh, shit. I forgot that I got to meet up with Federica later, I said.
Who?
Maria asked as she took a sip of her coffee. My friend, Federica. She and I agreed to catch up this week.
Excuse me?
Maria's face contorted into a grimace of anger. I had never seen her make this facial expression, so I instantly assumed that this was bad.
Yeah, I mean, Federica and I have known each other for over a decade.
So what? It's not okay for someone in a relationship to have girlfriends, Jake. I don't have any guy friends.
What?
Come on, Federica's like a sister to me. We've never even done anything. And you hang out with Matt, too. That's how I met you, remember?
No, I don't. I blocked him on all my social media when you and I started dating. Men and women can't be friends. There's always a chance for something more to happen between them.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Look, I'm not forbidding you from hanging out with guys. It's perfectly normal to have friends of the opposite sex, as long as you're just friends. I don't care at all.
Well, I don't agree with you. She crossed her arms, fuming.
I'm sorry, Jake, but you're going to have to choose me or her, and you're going to have to do it right now. Maria, come on. Don't be like this. Federica is just a friend. I'm not going to just cut a friend off I've known for a decade over someone that I've known for a few weeks. So please, don't make me choose. If you won't cut her off, then I want to be there with you every time you hang out with her. No, I said sternly. You can meet her, but I'm not dragging you to every time I hang out with her. Before I managed to finish my sentence, Maria stood up and threw her hot coffee in my face. The nearby guests of the restaurant glanced in our direction as Maria stormed out, furiously stomping her feet. I wiped my face and shirt futilely with a napkin, trying to pretend like everything was fine. I then asked for the check from the waiter, who tried to keep a straight face, and politely excused myself from the restaurant. I would probably not be going back there anytime soon, after that humiliating experience. About an hour later, I was at Federica's place and we were catching up, talking about old times when my phone buzzed. I unlocked it and saw that I got a message from Maria. It read, "How can you be so selfish?" I immediately replied, "I'm sorry if I hurt you, but try to understand my side. We can talk later about it." I continued chatting with Federica when my phone buzzed again, and it was Maria. "No, we will not. I will not be changing my stance on this," the text read. "Is everything okay?" Federica asked, possibly noticing my frustrated facial expressions. Yep, everything's fine," I said, turning off my vibration and putting my phone in my pocket. I did my best to put my argument with Maria to the back of my mind and enjoy my time with Federica, but she could sense my frustration, so we agreed to meet again another time. When I arrived home, I pulled out my phone and loudly said, "What the fuck?" when I saw the countless notifications on my phone. I had missed calls and messages on every social media website where I was active. Every single notification was from Maria. I skimmed through them in horror, seeing new ones pop up along the way. The messages started accusatory, saying things like, "You fucking asshole, I can't believe you're so cruel." Or, "I bet you're fucking her right now, aren't you?" Then they transitioned to guilt-tripping, saying things like, "I'm crying right now. I'll just swallow my sleeping pills to take my mind off of you." Or, "I cannot believe you would hurt me like this," and so on. And then they started to change to rationalizing, telling me she loves me too much and only wants to protect me, that she's too afraid to lose me, etc. In between her messages, there were remarks like, "Hello, are you there?" quickly followed by more of her rants, like, "Fuck you," and "I hate you forever." Something then clicked in my mind, and I realized right there and then that things wouldn't work out for us. This was way too much of an issue to be pushed under the rug at this point. I was already pissed off from having her throw her coffee in my face, but now this was over the top. I hated the idea of doing it this way, but I had to send her a message, and so I wrote it out. "I think we should break up," and hit send. She called me immediately, asking me why, with a quivering voice. I explained, and she began crying, begging me not to leave her, promising to change and even let me be friends with Federica. I told her that it wouldn't work, and she began guilt-tripping me again, telling me that she loved me and that she was going to kill herself if I leave her. When I told her that those threats wouldn't work, she became aggressive. The last sentence she screamed into the phone before hanging up was, "You'll regret leaving me, you bastard. I'll make your life a living hell. You're going to beg me to take you back." It was the most surreal experience I've ever had within the span of 4 hours. And although I really liked her, I couldn't go for this sort of thing. Her behavior reminded me of those posts which I used to see online about the cringy overweight guys with fedoras who orbit around women and incessantly hound their inboxes. If Maria got this psychotic over a visit with a longtime female friend, I didn't even want to think what she would do to me if we moved in together or got married. I assumed that she was the type to stalk her exes, so I preemptively blocked her on all social media just to be on the safe side. Everything went fine for a while, and I even met another girl, a friend of Federica's. She and I went on a date, and it seemed okay at first. She was super into me, and we were already making plans for our next date when she decided to add me on Facebook so that we could connect more easily. I told her my name and she decided to check out my profile a little while we waited for our food to arrive. She was amused by my pictures of the food I cooked, as well as my workout videos, when all of a sudden her smile dropped and her mouth contorted into an expression that looked like she just ate a lemon. I asked her if everything was okay, and she uttered a weak, uh-huh, with a visibly forced smile. From that point on, she avoided my gaze the entire time and seemed completely uninterested in the conversation. The date went on for about 20 minutes. And then she said she just remembered something she needed to take care of and had to go, saying she'll be in touch. More perplexed and disappointed, I connected the dots that she may have seen something on my profile, which wasn't to her liking. But before I could finish that thought, I got a call from my mom. "Hello?" I asked. "Jake." She sounded distressed, which instantly put me on edge. "What is that picture you posted on Facebook? Aunt Amy had to see that. What were you thinking?" I was, of course, confused by this, because I had no idea what she was talking about. I immediately logged in to see for myself what could have possibly caused such an eruptive reaction. And boy, was there something to be seen there. The most recent posts were normal, but when I scrolled down a bit, I started to see occasional shares of weird links, videos, and pictures, like furry porn and sexual artwork, which I don't even want to begin to describe. There was even a post where I apparently wrote something extremely racist and homophobic. The funny thing is that for each link I posted or shared, there was a follow-up text of my own, which eerily looked like something I would write with the typical emojis I would use. It made it look less likely to other people that I was hacked and more like I had some sort of fucking mental breakdown. What was even stranger was the fact that there were some likes and comments on it, but I never got notified. Upon closer investigation, I realized that the notifications had been turned off. I then immediately made a post in which I apologized publicly to everyone who had seen such abominable things and informed them I was hacked. The damage was done already, though, and by then a lot of people had already booted me off their friends list. I contemplated deleting my Facebook altogether, but running away from it after such a disaster would only make me look guiltier. 2 days later at work, my boss called me into his office. I was expecting a promotion around that time, and everyone in the office already knew that I was the best candidate. Even the boss hinted at me getting the role, so it was pretty much a public secret by then. "How's it going, Mike?" I asked when I strode inside and sat in front of his desk. Michael stared at his computer screen with a grievous expression on his face. He furiously clicked for a minute or so while I sat in silence, feeling like I was being judged for some reason. "Jake," he finally said, turning to me and crossing his fingers, "you've been a valuable asset to this company this far." He then stared at his hands while fidgeting with his fingers. "You were the perfect man for the promotion." "Were?" I thought to myself, starting to sweat bullets instantly. Mike looked up at me with the expression of a disappointed parent. "And that's why I don't understand why you would do something like this. Why focus on small cash when you could have made it big?" "Mike, I have no idea what you're talking about. What's going on?" Mike opened his drawer and pulled out a stack of papers, and he slammed them against the desk. "The client you've been working with on the previous project contacted us and told us you were willing to sell him some sensitive information for a price." My eyes widened, my heart practically thudding against my chest at this point. The papers showed screenshots of my secret communication with the client where I clearly offered to leak information in exchange for money. The papers also had proof that I did it because the emails were apparently sent from the location of the office, from my computer, from my fucking email. "Mike, I'd never do such a thing. Okay, give me a chance to at least explain this," I tried to say before he interrupted me. "Jake, don't make this harder on yourself. Okay, now you can leave either with a severance package or without it, which already took a lot of strings to pull, I'll tell you. Hell, you're lucky that I managed to convince the higher-ups not to press charges against you." "In the dick pic? What were you thinking? First you were going to sell confidential information, and then you decided to send them a dick pic on top of it?" He then flipped the stack of papers over, and pointed to a PDF image of my dick. The choice was clear here, and there was no use arguing. They had strong evidence to go against my claim. I agreed to Mike's terms, and by the end of the day, I was out of the office, followed by the contemptuous glances and hushed whispers of my coworkers. This was completely humiliating, and I wish that's where everything ended. But when I got home, I had an even bigger surprise. I opened my front door to find my apartment completely ransacked. Furniture was ripped, with sponges strewn all over the place. Dishes were smashed on the floor, and the TV and other objects were overturned. It looked like there was an earthquake in here. I called the cops immediately, and they showed up within minutes. After a brief search, I realized that nothing of value was missing, and they found no signs of forced entry. "Do you have any idea who might have done this to you, son?" one of the officers asked. I thought for a moment, and the idea occurred to me that Maria could have been responsible, but I had no clear evidence to assume she would go to such extreme lengths, despite being as crazy as she was. It did make sense that she did it, though. She vowed to make my life a living hell, and the past few days have been a string of unexplained incidents. I was about to give the officer the name of a potential suspect when the other police officer emerged from the bathroom. "Turn around and put your hands on your head," he said. "What? My hands on my head? What are you talking about?" The officer then raised a small transparent bag with little green lumps up to his face. "You're under arrest for marijuana possession." "Whoa, that's not mine. I don't smoke weed." "Sir, don't make it hard on yourself. Now, we can do this in two ways. You don't want to be charged with resisting arrest. Now put your fucking hands on your head." I complied, my brain spinning a million miles an hour. As they escorted me out of my apartment, my gaze fell on a tiny note in front of the entrance. A note with an all-too-familiar lipstick imprint on it. "See you soon, Maria," it read. This cannot be happening. I kept telling myself that as I was put in the back of the cruiser and taken to the police station. It took an entire week until I had my court hearing and was granted bail for $3,000. It would have been a misdemeanor charge, but the amount of weed exceeded it by just a little, and I was sure that whoever framed me calculated it scrutinously. At the time, I didn't have much money either, so I had to call Matt to help me out. I felt bad for calling him like this, especially given the fact that he and I only spoke once briefly since the party, but he was more than happy to help me out. When he finally arrived to pick me up, he shook his head, but smiled. "Dude, you're having fun without me? Why don't you conceal your shit better, man? Why would you leave a bag of weed out like that?" "That was not mine, Matt." And he laughed. "Yeah, innocent man. I get it. I totally don't have any weed on me right now either." And he winked. "I'm serious, Matt. I was set up by Maria. I think she's fucking nuts." "Who?" "Your friend Maria. You know, the one who I hooked up with at the party and dated for a while." Matt frowned for a moment before snapping his fingers and saying, "Oh, right, the redhead. That chick was hot, man. Too bad things didn't work out for you two. Hey, you want to give me your number so I can try and charm her? I mean, it's over, so you don't care, right?" I stared at Matt in bewilderment. Something was very wrong here. "Matt, she told me she's your childhood friend." And Matt shook his head. "Nah, man. She just showed up to the party with some other people. I thought she was your friend." My head started spinning again. Who the hell was this girl, and what did she want from me? How did she manage to sneak into this party without anyone noticing, especially with her prominent features? I thanked Matt for everything he did and promised to pay him back as soon as I had the money. When I got back home, I unblocked Maria's number and texted her. "Well, are you done now, you fucking psycho? You embarrassed me in front of my friends and family, got me fired and arrested, and ransacked my apartment. Leave me the fuck alone, you bitch." Then I hit send. It felt good sending that text, although I wanted to say that to her face even more. Her reply then came through in a matter of minutes, and I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me feel a little uneasy. "See you soon," it simply said. I spent the next 2 days cleaning up my apartment and looking for a new job. It was inevitable that I would need to move out, especially now that I was unemployed, so I wasn't too concerned with Maria finding me. One day during the week, I went for a walk in the park to clear my head and get my mind off things. It was a nice day and the park was tranquil, with people walking their dogs or taking a stroll with their kids. I sat down on a bench, closed my eyes, and enjoyed the pleasant breeze and silence. "Hi, Jakey," I heard an all-too-familiar voice to my left say. I jerked my head in the direction of the voice, and there she was, standing right in front of me, with a wide smile on her face. "Maria," I stood up, feeling my heart beginning to race faster. "What do you want from me?" "Nothing. I was in passing and just wanted to say hi." "Well, see you around," she said in a nonchalant way, waving her fingers at me before turning around. And honestly, this pissed me off. To ruin my life like that and then just pretend like everything was fine filled me with boiling rage. I stood up and grabbed her by her wrist violently. "Don't walk away from me, you bitch." She turned around to face me, giving me a suspiciously seductive glance. "Careful, Jake. Be careful. There's a lot of people around here, and you wouldn't want the judge to receive a video of you violating your temporary restraining order, would you?" Her eyes then widened and her smile dropped, expressing palpable fear on her face. She tried breaking free and screamed, "Let me go. Please don't hurt me. I don't want to have sex with you." I let her go instantly, as if I was being burned. The nearby people glanced in our direction with confusion, and I could see some of them reaching for their phones, curiously observing the situation. "Restraining order? What are you talking about?" I asked, keeping my distance from her. She smiled again, making me want to strangle her. Oh, the judge was so cooperative. When I came to him with tears in my eyes, and when I showed him all the texts of the threats you've been making towards me, he immediately took pity. She giggled and twirled her hair around her finger playfully. "You still have a chance to make it up to me. Despite causing me so much pain and suffering, I still love you, Jake, and I'm willing to take you back." "Oh, you're fucking crazy. I wouldn't fuck you with Matt's dick," I said and turned around. "Stop it, Jake," she said so sternly that I felt compelled to turn around and face her. "You don't want to leave, trust me. Because if you do, you're going to be charged with rape." I was about to interject, but no words came out, and she continued. "If I go to the judge and tell him that you raped me, do you think they'll take my word for it? What about if they happen to find evidence of my rape, say an extragenital injury, your DNA? What do you think would happen then?" I opened my mouth dumbfounded. I couldn't describe what I felt at this point. I was a mixture of scared and angry at the same time. I felt like I could stomp Maria's head out over and over until all that remained of her body was a bloody mess. But she had me by the nuts, and she was squeezing them hard. She then took a step closer and put her hand on my cheek. "Jakey, I told you that you would beg me to take you back. Now get on your knees and start begging." I looked around, futilely searching for a familiar face to help me. Most of the people were already gone by then, and it was only Maria and I, with an occasional stray walker. I had no doubt that she was ready to do everything she mentioned in order to get what she wanted. "Jakey, Jakey, don't make me ask you twice." She then crossed her arms. I felt tears streaming down my face by this point as I slowly lowered myself to my knees and looked up at Maria's stern face. "Forgive me," I said. "What was that? I can't hear you," she said, leaning in and looking like she could hardly contain her laughter. "Please forgive me, Maria." "And?" she said, her face very close to mine now, her lips contorting into a conniving smile. "And please forgive me and take me back," I said, crying now. "Stand up and look at me. Look at me, Jake, like a man," she said, and I obeyed immediately. "Do you love me?" "Yes," I said, moving my gaze away, too humiliated to even look at her. "Hey, I didn't say you could look away, Jake. I looked back and she smiled. It was that same smile from the night when we met. A heartwarming illusion of a smile that could lure any man into Maria's deadly trap. Do you promise to always love me and do what I say, and never have any female friends again? Yes, I promise, Maria. She hung her arms around my neck and then kissed me. She then hugged me and whispered into my ear. It's okay, Jakey. I forgive you. And we're going to be so happy together. I met with Maria in our usual cafe the following day at her request. I didn't even try to make an excuse and dodge the coming because I knew she would find a way to blackmail me. When I arrived, she was already there, scrolling on her phone. She wore a cropped pink top and jeans, and upon seeing me, she smiled widely and stood up to meet me. She passionately kissed me and whispered, "I missed you, Jakey. Did you miss me?" "Yes, I did, Maria," I answered, like a docile animal, too afraid to hesitate. I answered, like a docile dog, too afraid to be put down. Had this been the time when we just started dating, I would have been absolutely stunned by her gorgeous appearance. But now, as I looked at her deceptive smile and dishonest eyes, I was disgusted. I could hardly even stomach the thought of being in her presence, let alone hugging or kissing her, but it had to be her way. "And how was your day, sweetie?" she asked. "It was okay. I didn't really do anything special," I said, glancing around the place, trying to catch the attention of the waiter. "You know, I don't have much to do since I'm unemployed." "Well, aren't you going to ask me about my day?" she said, tapping her fingernails on the table, producing a hollow sound with each tap. I haven't been with her for a full minute, and I already managed to piss her off. How the fuck was I going to survive a relationship with a psychopath? "Oh, yes, I'm sorry. How was your day, baby?" I smiled and asked, to which her tapping stopped. "Well, just another typical day at school, you know. I had one kid scheduled for a conversation, but he never showed up. I'll have to contact him to make sure he's okay, though. I'm really worried about him, since he's feeling depressed." She then raised her eyebrows in a sorrowful manner. "You two-faced lying bitch," was all I could think to myself as I nodded and agreed with her, encouraging her to leave the kid alone until he felt comfortable to talk about his situation, whatever it may be. Normally, I would have advised differently, but right now, being depressed sounded way better than being near this lunatic. "So, are you looking for a new job?" she pompously asked, taking a sip of her coffee. I stared at her for a moment in confusion, and when she saw that, she put down her mug and said, "You know, it's such a shame. You really seem to enjoy working there." I stared at her for a moment in confusion, and when she saw that, she put down her mug. "But I believe you're going to make up for the mistake you made at your old job, with the dick pics and all those other things that you were doing. I believe in you, and will support you until the end, Jakey, because that's what good girlfriends do. And I know that you're not going to send any more dick pics via email anymore, are you?" She smiled and then reached across the table, putting her hand on mine. I smiled back, holding within me the urge to knock her teeth out. We spent another 20 or so agonizing minutes talking about random things when my phone buzzed on the table. I picked it up to read the message and noticed Maria greedily glancing at the screen. When I saw who the message was from, I silently started praying that Maria didn't see it. But my hopes sank when she spoke up again. "Jake, I thought we'd been through this already." When I looked at her, she had her arms crossed and was frowning at me. "What do you mean?" I played dumb, closing the message and putting the phone in my pocket. "You know what I mean. We agreed that having friends of the opposite sex is not right for someone who is taken. And last I checked, Federica was a girl." "Maria, please. Federica has always been a good friend of mine. I can't just ditch her after all these years." "Jake, I'm trying to be supportive. I really am. But it's so hard to do when you're constantly hurting me like this." Tears then started welling in her eyes and her voice started to quiver, gradually becoming louder. "I can't be supportive of it when all I can think of was that day when you left me to be with her. How am I supposed to believe that you won't do it again?"
She was practically screaming at this point, tears streaming down her face, much to the bewildered glances of the other guests. She buried her face in her hands and started sobbing. "Maria, please stop." "No, I won't stop," she said between sobs before slightly calming down and continuing. "If you won't do anything about it, then we'll just have to go our own ways, Jake. But I'm not sure what your path will entail." She stood up, picked up her purse, and put it over her shoulder. "Maria, wait. I'll do whatever you want, please," I said. She looked at me with hesitation, wiping the tears and ruined makeup off her face before sitting down and leaning on the table. "Then call her now." "What?" "Call her and tell her to never contact you again." "Maria, wait a minute. Call her, or I'm leaving." I glanced around the restaurant, realizing that most of the people were sneaking glances in our direction now and moving their gazes away when they met with mine. "Well," Maria's unrelenting gaze was on me so intently that I felt like it would burn a hole in my head. I pulled out my phone and dialed Federica's number with trembling hands. After two rings, she picked up. "Hey, Jay," she said jovially. "Hi, Federica." My somber greeting contrasted hers. "Is everything okay with you, Jake?" She could immediately sense that something was wrong. And of course she could, because even after a long time of not talking, she knew me better than I knew myself. "Jake, are you still there?" she asked when I failed to respond. Maria incessantly stared at me, slowly tapping her fingernails on the table again. We can't be friends anymore, Federica," I spat out as quickly as I could, feeling uncomfortable with the words. "Jake, I don't understand." "Don't ever call me again, Federica," I said and hung up before she could respond. I put my phone in my lap and stared at it as it started to ring with Federica's name on the display. "Block her," Maria sternly said, still staring at me with her piercing look, her lips stiffening into a thin line. I declined Federica's call and did as Maria asked. I also blocked her on all social media, and once it was done, I gently placed my phone on the table and looked Maria in the eye. Her expression had shifted entirely from an angry one to a compassionate one. She stared at me with what looked like pity as she put her hand on mine. "I know this was hard, baby, but it was the only right thing to do. You only need me in your life, no one else. I will make you happy, I promise." She tightened the grip on my hand and I had returned it, giving her a vague smile. And a moment later, she pulled back and leaned in her chair. "Now that we got that vermin rat out of the way, I wanted to talk to you about a more serious matter." Her face flashed with a wide grin. "Jakey, I think I should move in with you." I opened my mouth to say something, but I frankly didn't know if I should object or find an excuse or agree. "What do you think?" she said as she took another sip from her mug. "Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not such a good idea right now. I'm jobless, Maria, and when the landlord sees what you did to the apartment, well, I thought you'd be happy about us living together." "I am. I mean, I would be," I awkwardly said. "Good, then it's settled. I'll bring my stuff around tomorrow." She took another sip of her coffee. "Oh, and please try to clean the apartment up. The last time I came to your place, it was a total mess, and I seen bags of weed everywhere. I don't want to be welcomed home to a complete fucking pigsty with drugs everywhere." I smiled, imagining pummeling her over and over. "I'll take care of it for you, Maria, no problem," I said. "Great. I'm so excited, Jakey," Maria exclaimed. And sure as shit, Maria was there the next day. I had started cleaning and she was less than happy to see that the apartment was still a mess, despite the majority of it being taken care of. She was frustrated and started taking it out on me, calling me an incompetent half-man, a bitch, and a pussy, but I ignored her remarks. This sort of life was not going to work. I had to find a way to turn the tables. Having Maria move in was agonizing. Not only did we spend a lot more time together, but I had to be careful about leaving my laptop unlocked, since I was sure she'd go snooping around in it, and God knows what she would do. Living with her was utterly unpredictable, too. Some days she'd come back home in a great mood and would shower me with love and attention, while other days she'd be irritated,
scolding me and shouting over anything I did wrong. As much as I hated any kind of contact with her, I preferred the first option. The only good thing that came out of it was the sex. I was a lot rougher with her than usual, and even though this was good for both my mental and sexual frustration, it was even better that Maria enjoyed it too, so she couldn't tell that it was my way of channeling anger. One night when she came home frustrated from her counseling job, she came home and she was super demeaning to me, spit in my face and smacked me. I've never been a guy that's been into anal sex, but later that night, I butt-fucked the shit out of her. I mean, it was a total jackhammering. Either way, the first few days of her moving in, I barely had any time to spend alone and think about things. But as the days went by and she mentally started exhausting me, I started to consider ways to end all of this. One day, we went to the movies and decided we'd grab dinner afterwards. While I was buying the tickets and popcorn, Maria sat in the back at a table drinking soda. "Jake, is that you?" the young lady who worked there asked. I immediately recognized her as Helena, my high school classmate. "Helena, hi. It's so good to see you," I smiled. "I didn't realize you were back in town." "Yeah, just working in between before I got back on the next cruise, you know," she chuckled. "Well, good for you. I was working on a cruise ship anyway." "It's great. Lots of work, but I like it. Plus, it really helps because my little sister needs to have college funded and, you know, since our parents are gone." And she shrugged. "Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. What about you? Is that your girlfriend back there?" And she shot Maria a glance and smiled. Yeah, I said, dodging a lengthier discussion about my psycho-ass girlfriend. "Hey, I'd love to talk more, Jake, but I got other people waiting here, so how about we catch up sometime?" she asked. I nodded and took my popcorn and went back. I noticed Maria staring in my direction intently with a serious expression on her face. "You sure took your time talking to that girl, didn't you?" she said. And it's those types of shitty, snarky-ass tones that would come out of her mouth that already had me daydreaming about pile-driving her once we got back home. "Yeah, that's Helena. She and I went to high school. She actually works as a waitress on a cruise ship, but takes a break between tours." "Sounds boring," Maria said while staring at her phone. "Yeah, but it pays well. She wants to pay for her sister's college." "Whatever. Can we go see the movie now?" I sensed Maria's aggression, since she was rarely subtle when she got angry. I knew we would have a problem with this later, and unsurprisingly, while we were in the restaurant eating dinner, Maria spoke up after being quiet for over an hour. "Jake, do you love me?" "Of course I love you, Maria," I said, reaching across the table to take her hand. "Are you planning on hurting me in any way?" she asked, ignoring my hand. I brought back my hand and frowned. "What? No, what would make you say something like that?" "All right, good," she said as she took a bite of her food. "Because, you know, if something were ever to happen to me, it would be bad for you. And I really can't stand the thought of you getting hurt, baby." I pretended to pay attention to the meal on my plate while slicing my steak. I chose not to respond, and we went the remainder of the dinner in silence. I had a horrible gut feeling the whole night and the following morning when Maria left for work, but I couldn't really tell why. It just kept nagging at me, warning me about something. Maria came home later than usually that day and was in an unexpectedly good mood. I tried to stay on her good side for the remainder of the night, but the next morning, I almost threw up my breakfast when I read the news. The headline read, "Movie theater employee found dead." And there was a picture of Helena on the headline. Although the details were not disclosed, it was stated in the article that Helena had been found dead near her apartment and that the police are actively searching for the killer. My first thought was, it must have been Maria. Who the fuck else would it be? But was she really capable of doing this? Was she really going to go to such extreme lengths with her jealousy that she would kill anybody who even made mere small talk with me? Even a high school friend? Tears welled up in my eyes when I thought of Helena's younger sister, who was already without her parents and now her sister's gone. The stakes had really been raised, and I had to up the ante myself if I wanted to even have a slight chance of making it out of this hell of a relationship. I spent the following days in cafes, pretending to look for work, while actually devising a plan to get Maria out of my life. She was obviously smart enough and thought this through to the end, step by step. I knew the only way for me to compete in any way was to play her game. But how could I do such a thing? I don't have the mind of a psychopath. I didn't even know where to begin to set her up. The one thing I could do was bide my time and build trust with her, until she fell into a false sense of security. But what then? I could use a recorder to try and get her to confess everything, but my recording in court would be weak at best, against her DNA proof or whatever else she had in store, and I don't even know if I could even get her to confess to anything. I spent hours every day planning and came up with nothing. So I'd go home and wallow in my self-pity. Then one day, I came home a little earlier from the cafe, around 2 p.m., and Maria still wasn't home, since she usually doesn't get home until about 4. I was about to make a late lunch when I heard the doorbell ring. I opened it, and my eyes widened when I saw who was standing in front of me. "Hi, Jake," Federica grinned shyly. "Federica, what are you doing here? I told you not to contact me again." "Jake, you need to talk to me. What's going on?" "Federica, listen, you need to leave right now," I urged her. "Jake, we've known each other for a long enough time for you to tell me when you're in serious trouble. I'm not going to leave until you tell me what's going on." I hesitated for a moment, afraid that Maria may be lurking right around the corner. Eventually, I gestured for her to come in. She complied, and we went into the living room. She stopped in the middle of the room and spun around to face me, with a look of judgment on her face. "So, what is it?" she asked. I sighed and looked down, shaking my head. "I really can't talk about it." "Hey, look at me." She took a step forward and put her hand on my cheek. The gesture disgusted me, as it painfully reminded me of something Maria would do. "Jake, we've known each other for years, and we've been through hell and high water. Whatever it is, I'll help you. I promise." I sighed once more and looked her in the eye. I really needed to tell somebody. I've been bottling it up for so long. "It's Maria," I said. "What about her?" She stepped back and looked at me curiously. "She's blackmailing me. She's ruining my life. She's got evidence against me for crimes I didn't even commit. She framed me and got me arrested a while back for drug possession. This girl is fucking nuts." "Jesus," Federica said, now staring at me with wide eyes. "I have to do everything she tells me." "Well, Jake, we can't just sit on it and let her have her own way. We need to find a way to do something." Federica's voice then trailed off, and her eyes grew wide, looking behind me. "Have to find a way to what?" a female voice came out. I spun around, and there stood my girlfriend. She had a disturbing grin on her face, stretched from ear to ear, and she stared directly at Federica with her shoulders tense. "Jakey, what is she doing here?" Maria asked through her grin, turning her gaze towards me. Maria, I can explain. Federica had nothing to do with this," I said, holding out my hand in a stop sign. Just then, my eyes fell on a glint in Maria's hand. She was holding a knife. "Maria, baby, let's just calm down here, okay?" I stepped back in front of Federica. Maria took a daunting step forward, still grinning like a crazy person. As she did so, her step turned into a walk. "I told you to cut all ties with her, Jake." "Hey, Jake and I are leaving right now," Federica said as she stood next to me, "and we're calling the cops." Maria raised the knife and then rushed at Federica while screaming. She fell on top of her, knocking over the coffee table and the decorations on top of it. "Maria, stop!" I rushed and grabbed her from behind. She swung her knife and cut my forearm, making me recoil in pain. As I did so, I tripped on something and fell, hitting my head on the wall in the process. My vision got blurry and I struggled to regain my composure. Through my blurred vision, I saw that Federica and Maria thrashed against each other, both girls screaming, and then it suddenly stopped. Federica gasped loudly in horror, and it took me a moment to realize that the knife had made its way into her chest. "I told you to leave him alone. He's mine. Mine, mine." With each sentence, Maria drove the blade into Federica's stomach. Each new stab spraying blood all over the place. "Maria, no," I shouted, slowly propping myself up and trying to stand up, but losing balance. Federica desperately tried to hold Maria back, but her strength was waning with each stab, and in a matter of seconds, she stopped resisting altogether. Her arms fell limply next to her body, and her head turned in my direction, her eyes staring vacantly as blood slid from her mouth. That didn't stop Maria, though, as she continued stabbing over and over with screams, making Federica's now lifeless body twitch at each stab. I rushed to Maria and tackled her. She screamed hysterically, demanding that I let her go so that she can finish the whore. "Stop it! Just stop, goddammit!" I shouted, and she seemed to break out of her hysteria, ceasing all struggle and staring at me while panting. I took the knife from her limp hand and stood up, turning to face Federica. It was even worse than I assumed. My friend had so many stab wounds that it was impossible to even count, some of them even going into her neck. A large pool of blood already formed around her body. I grabbed my head with both hands, panic overtaking me. "Oh my God. Oh God, no," I said over and over. "Look what you did, Jake," Maria said in a calm tone. I turned to face her and saw her covered in blood from head to toe. She had a menacing look in her eye as she stared directly at me. "Look where your selfishness got your friend. This is your fault. Why did you make me do it, Jake? Why?" She became hysterical again, her mad look turning into a desperate one as she started crying. "We need to go to the police," I said, panting myself. "Oh, really?" Maria suddenly stopped sobbing. "Your fingerprints are on that knife, and you're covered in blood, Jake. If you go now, there's going to be enough evidence to convict you for life. Marijuana possession, then breaking your temporary restraining order, raping me, and now killing your friend. You really think it's a good idea to go to the cops, you stupid fucking idiot?" She then cocked back her hand and slapped me across the face. I looked at the knife in my hand and then at Federica's lifeless body once more, and tears formed in my eyes at the sight of my best friend being gone in an instant, just like that. "Well, Jake," Maria demanded, "if you want, I'll call the police right now. I can easily pretend to cry." She then buried her face in her hands and started weeping. "It was horrible, officer. I tried to stop him, but he pushed me away and just continued stabbing and stabbing and stabbing. He's hit me before, but I was too afraid to leave because I didn't know what he was capable of or if he was going to rape me again." She sobbed violently for a moment, putting on the show, before stopping and looking up at me with a satisfied grin on her face. "So, what do you want to do, Jakey? You want to test me?" she said calmly. I closed my eyes and dropped the knife. I knew there was no way a swift anal sex pounding was going to resolve this one. The rest of the day was a blur. I left the living room at one point to wash my hands, and when I came back, the knife was gone. It was foolish of me to leave it with her, because now she had one piece of extra evidence to use against me. As for Federica's body, Maria took care of it. She carried the dead body into the bathroom and brought a hacksaw. After what felt like hours of listening to agonizing hacking and snapping, Maria left the apartment with a few full trash bags and was gone for hours. I was pretty much on autopilot by then, just cleaning the remainder of the mess. When Maria came back, she then hugged me. "Everything will be all right, Jakey. We'll get through this. We only need each other. Why don't you sit down and relax?" I complied and slumped into the sofa, exhausted physically and mentally. I threw my head backwards and closed my eyes while Maria sat on the floor next to me, stroking my hand gently. "I was so tired." "I know you didn't mean to hurt me, Jakey," she said, I know you love me, but I still have to punish you. I felt an unimaginably sharp burning pain on my hand, and I screamed, instantly opening my eyes and pulling away from Maria. What I saw made me scream even more, not so much in pain, but in terror. The little finger on my left hand was missing, blood running from the stump. I looked at Maria and saw her holding my bloodied finger in one hand, and in the other, a pair of kitchen shears stained with blood. I stood up, holding my hand, the pain only now starting to fully get to me. "What did you do?" I shouted, taking a step back. "Jake, don't move. You'll get blood everywhere again, and we just finished cleaning." "Call an ambulance," I screamed. I was in full panic by now. But Maria seemed unfazed by the whole situation. "Oh, you knew this was going to happen," she said calmly. "I told you to cease all contact with Federica, but you wouldn't listen." "Maria, we need to call an ambulance," I said, panting and already covered in blood all the way down to my elbows. "They might still be able to reattach it." Maria seemed to get pissed off even more at this, but a moment later she shrugged and said, "Okay, Jake, you're right. Maybe they can reattach it. Go ahead and take it there." She then opened the window and chucked my finger out, much to my horror. She then sat down on the sofa and pulled her cell phone out of her pocket, as if nothing happened. So I took that opportunity to run outside and look for my missing finger. I mean, what the fuck was wrong with this woman? After a full hour of unsuccessful searching, I started to get dizzy and decided to visit the hospital instead. The whole time while I was being treated by the doctors, my desperation was turning into hot, boiling anger. I was beyond mad now and wanted revenge. I wanted revenge for Federica, for Helena, for my finger, for everything. If there was one thing Maria had that could be used against her, it was her short temper. I had to use it to my advantage, and an idea started to clearly form in my head. I made it home, and we were eating dinner. I clumsily fumbled with my fork, trying to hold it steadily with my mutilated hand. Getting used to living without a little finger may not seem like a big deal, but it impacts your life more than you'd think. Not to mention that your grip becomes a lot weaker without the finger. I was going through bouts of depression daily, but I kept my eyes on one thing: destroying Maria. It fueled me and motivated me to continue living until she was either dead or in prison. And whichever one it was going to happen tonight. "So, I have something to tell you, Jake," she said as she took a bite of her food. "Oh yeah, what is it?" I asked, staring at my plate. She put down her fork and knife and inhaled deeply. "I know you're probably not ready for this, but what?" I asked, getting a little impatient. My initial thought was that she would demand to get married. "I think I might be pregnant," she said, awaiting my response. I swallowed, trying not to show any distress. She was fucking with me. I was sure of it. Did she sense what I was about to do? I couldn't let her mess with my head like that. "Well, that's too bad," I said, taking another bite of my food, as if she had just told me the most mundane thing ever. I then looked up at her, and her expression of curiosity turned into a frown. "Excuse me?" she asked with a raised tone. "Yeah, it's a shame, because I have something to tell you, too." I then laid down my silverware and looked her in the eye. "I met someone. Another girl." She stood up, knocking over the chair she was sitting on. "You what? Who is she?" "Maria, calm down. Getting hysterical won't help here." "What do you mean, calm down? Tell me the name of the girl so I can kill her." "You mean like you killed Federica and Helena?" I picked up my silverware once more and took another bite of my food. "You think I didn't know about that? You killed an innocent woman just because she happened to talk to me while I was buying some popcorn. She was working to put her little sister through college. You murdering fucking bitch." I raised my tone at the last sentence, feeling the rage taking me over once more. Maria looked at me with wide eyes before continuing. "They deserve to die. and I'll do it to every woman that comes to you. You're mine, Jake. Mine.
I know, I calmly sighed. I know. That's why on the night you killed Federica, I went to the police. Her eyes widened even more. I told them everything about how you blackmailed me with false accusations of rape, how you killed Federica and probably Helena, and how you cut off my finger. They're listening to us right now. I then unbuttoned my shirt and revealed the wires which the police officers attached to me. The door then burst open with a loud bang, and armed officers rushed inside.
Freeze! Get on the ground and put your hands behind your head, they shouted.
Maria spun around to look at them and then faced me, with a glint of such anger and hatred that it actually made me feel palpable fear. She grabbed the knife and overturned the table with a loud scream.
I'm warning you to stop, one of the cops shouted, but Maria ignored them. She ran right at me as if she was about to stab me.
But I jumped on the ground and covered my head, and a series of loud bangs filled the air, with ear-splitting amplitude.
Cease fire, one of the officers shouted, and I dared to look up.
Maria was on the ground next to me, strewn sideways, riddled with bullets. Her eyes were wide and her mouth agape as blood drooled out.
You promised, Jake, she barely managed to utter, before letting out a gasp and ceasing all movement entirely.
Hey, you all right, son? The police officers asked and helped me up, and the rest of the night was a blur of being interrogated in the police station. The night I went into the station, I told them about everything, and even though I was initially a suspect, they wanted to kill two birds with one stone. So I agreed to cooperate and help them convict Maria. They wired and monitored me closely in the following days. The officers got enough evidence from the recording to confirm everything I said was true and ultimately let me go. The autopsy performed on Maria revealed that she was indeed pregnant, but I felt no pity for the baby. For a while, I expected some evidence to turn up in the police station, which would accuse me of rape, like Maria swore, but that never happened, which brought me to the conclusion that she was probably bluffing the entire time. I still have PTSD to this day and often wake up seeing Maria with a knife or kitchen shears standing over my bed. I stopped dating too, and I'm not sure I'll ever be able to get back into it. With the immense guilt I felt for allowing Federica and Helena to die, I turned to the bottle and stopped looking for a job altogether. One thing is for sure, though. Maria is gone, but I'll never be the same again.